people that are engineering, the hosts, we're all volunteers, we're unpaid, and we do this because we love free speech. And free speech is something we want to make sure that we do not lose, and we're actually in a very trying time right now. I'd hate to think that that's something our children are not going to experience. You can make sure that we still have freedom of speech, freedom of radio, the exchange of many diverse perspectives by calling us at 877-500-KBOO or going online to kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the screening of Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody. The screening takes place on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. Now is the Time, Healthcare for Everybody is a documentary film that advocates for universal, affordable, single-payer healthcare for everyone. A difference, even in the goals. Again, that's now Saturday, February 18th, plus Sam. Information can be...
Hi, everybody. Dan Johnson. Radio today is us by telephone from Massachusetts. So, Susan, thank you very much for coming together with us. And I want to tell our folks, too, that you are the author of a new book, Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady. So welcome to our airwaves.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
All right. First, I've got to tell our listeners that I want you to make sure that you're listening the final 10 minutes of the show, because we are going to be offering for your membership a copy of Susan's book. There will be a limited supply of these books, so you want to make sure that you're jumping on board. And the other nice thing about it is this show is airing the day before Valentine's Day, so what better kind of a gift could there be for that? And so, my friends, I want to move forward without any delay. Susan, let me ask you, what is Eleanor and Hick all about, and why'd you write the book?
Eleanor and Hick tells the story of Eleanor Roosevelt's relationship with a journalist named Lorena Hickok, who was called Hick by everybody. And they met in 1932 when Hick, who was at very top of her profession, one of the few women covering politics as opposed to social teas. And Hick was covering Eleanor Roosevelt. Met when they covered when she covered Eleanor Roosevelt. Eleanor Roosevelt was very wary of reporters. She was raised to believe she shouldn't talk to the press. It was not ladylike. And Hick was a little wary of Eleanor, too, because she didn't want to write just about women's stuff and thought she might get stuck on the women's page. However, once they met each other and started traveling together during the 1932 campaign and began to confide in each other about their lives, which were very, very, I didn't admire, but loving, about five-take relationship, a love relationship. It's at one time, there are 3,000, over 3,000 library between them, and those have been, people were back at it, both of them.
Hick wrote an unpublished autobiography. How much information did you get from her from that, from the text of that manuscript, or did you have to dig into a lot of other sources?
Oh, I used a lot of sources, but the autobiography was really a great resource to tell about her childhood, this very hardscrabble childhood she had growing up in small towns in South Dakota, with an abusive father who actually beat her with barrel staves, and her leaving the house at 14, going to work as a maid in other people's houses, somehow managing to forge a career in journalism out of that. So that those stories I got from the unpublished autobiography, which I actually think should be published someday because it's quite vivid and well-written. But that was an important source. The most important source by far was the 3,000-plus letters between Eleanor and Hick that are in the Roosevelt Library in Hyde Park.
Now, an interesting thought came to mind when you talk about their love relationship.
I believe it was Lorena Hickok, not vice letters, for the fourth illustration. Both were rich each other to see each other. Every day, it was a central Eleanor and Hick.
Anything of that not know or understand begin to writing the book?
Yeah, a lot, lots and lots of things, small and large. I think she was kind of idealized her, and she was magnificent in many ways, particularly in her social activism and her advocacy. Of the underdog, of immigrants, of minorities, all of those things. But on her own personal level, sometimes she could be kind of insensitive. She was not. She had lots of trouble with being a lot of a different view of her own. She would never be a belle. She was home from alcoholism when she was 10. So she really, and she was raised by a very strict, distant grandmother. So she really didn't have a good experience of how to be a mother. And she had all this in her children's divorces. There was a great sadness. But one of the interesting things is that all of this, and also all of the lots of other secrets, of which there were many, many in the Roosevelt White House, she confided in Hick about. So these letters between them are a lot more honest than the public persona of Eleanor Roosevelt. She wrote many books, memoirs, her life called My Day. So she was out there.
She also wrote a newspaper column.
Yes, My Day. Yeah. Yeah, forever. I mean, she wrote 6 days a week for her entire life, starting in the mid-30s. She wrote this column called My Day, and she would describe her day in a way that, people felt very familiar. They felt they knew Eleanor Roosevelt. But it was one version of Eleanor Roosevelt. In reading these letters to Hick, I see a much more complex person, and you see much more of her pain and difficulty because she confides in Hick about it, and how she really disliked being the First Lady, being Mrs. R, as
sure.
She called it.
Well, it was no big secret that she and Franklin Roosevelt did not have the most loving of relationship either.
That's true. They were polite with each other and usually kind to each other, I think. But starting in 1918, when Eleanor discovered that Franklin was having a love affair with her social secretary, Lucy Mercer, he agreed to kind of live side by side, platonically, pretty much, as far as I can tell, separate bedrooms and kind of and lives apart. They never, after that, they rarely vacationed together. They just went their separate ways. And she continued to feel very hurt. She couldn't forget this affair. And then also there were others after that, flirtations and affairs that FDR had. So that was going on all through his presidency. And she was, they talked about the White House as having two sides. There was his side of the White House and her side of the White House. But they did get together to talk about issues and policy. And she was very influential in terms of
Throughout their entire marriage, they also had five children too, didn't they?
Yes, yeah. Well, that all happened, of course, earlier.
Right.
By the time they got to the White House, the youngest boys were in high school. They did have five. They had six children because she lost a child.
Right.
So they had those children and they had this life that they'd agreed to have together. They even talked about divorce at one point after the Mercer affair, but decided against it. It would, because divorce in those times would have meant the end of Franklin Roosevelt's political career. So they stuck together, and they were a good team in many ways, I think.
Right. Now, let's get back to Hick a little bit. It seems that Eleanor had blamed herself for Hick's unhappiness. Is that a fair assessment?
At certain points, I think that's true. I mean, they were very happy, and Hick was very happy for a time because they were doing these things together. They took vacations together. They would travel places and meet because it was possible for them to meet away from Washington, and they would meet at various places. So that, you know, that was for Hick a very happy time. What happened was that Hick had really risen to the top of the AP, and that was so unusual, and she felt that reporting was the one thing, being a reporter was the one thing she did best in life. And as their relationship deepened, it became more and more difficult for her to do her job because she knew too much about Eleanor and her family, and she was under pressure from her bosses, understandably, to provide information about things. And increasingly, because of her loyalty to Eleanor, she didn't or couldn't. And so she decided to leave AP. And that was a momentous decision because, really, she was never able to recover professionally from that. She continued to write, and she had this job, which she loved, working for the New Deal and going around the country and reporting on conditions on the ground. And she wrote terrific reports on that, which have since been published. So she was doing important work, and she was sending these things back to Eleanor, and they were cooperating on getting things to FDR and trying to influence policy in the New Deal and so on, and they really did. But none of it was quite the same as being a reporter. And Eleanor, I think, you know, rightly or wrongly, you know, blamed herself for this, did feel badly about it.
Okay, let me ask you this. Excuse me. If Eleanor were alive today, what do you think she would feel about the things that have transpired in the last 30 days or so in regards to Donald Trump and all of the election stuff that's gone on?
I think she would be completely outraged. You know, Eleanor was one of the principal authors of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Maybe we need to go back. We need to get Donald Trump to go back and read that document. Not that he reads anything, but if he did. She was, right after World War II, she was in London with the first United Nations meeting, wrestling with the question of refugees, because there were all of these European refugees that didn't want to go back to communist countries, and the Russians were pushing hard to make that happen, and she fought against it. She would really connect with the plight of refugees in these countries and the struggles of these people in this country. You know, I'm reading today about children in these countries who have already been affected by Trump's order, you know, and are living in these camps.
Right.
All of that would have caused her to be completely outraged. And she would also, I think she would set us all an example because she would be out there demonstrating, writing, trying to influence the people who could make changes, for sure she would be on the front lines fighting these Trump policies.
Do you think that she would also be out with the LGBTQ community?
Absolutely. Of course, you know, it's a different time. All of this, her relationship with Hick, and also the relationships of many of her friends. I mean, it's one of the reasons that I'm convinced that this was a love affair was that Eleanor had been surrounded for years by women who were in lifetime partnerships with other women. Her best friends, Nan and Marion, were a couple, and they were the ones that she worked with on the Valkill house in Hyde Park and then the Valkill Industries that they set up. And she had many other political friends who were couples, women couples. Her little place in Greenwich Village, her little hideaway, was in the apartment building of another of her very good friends, two women who were lifetime partners. So, you know, she was, nobody was using the word lesbian, and homosexuality was a great shame and a great, also a crime in those days, but it was all around her, and she had tremendous sympathy with it. When she invited one of these friends to the White House, for instance, she always invited the partner and made sure they came together. She, so she was to herself that she was a lesbian. Shame now.
Right. And while folks are in the offer that we're going to give, I want you to, and that and Eleanor, themselves from being.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people who were around them and knew them well knew that they were having a love relationship. I think certainly that the women reporters did. Eleanor, thanks to Hick, Eleanor's that she held on with women, became her greatest supporters, because she, in her typical fashion, she would knit, you know, baby outfits for their new babies and pass out candied fruit at the sessions and so on. So they became friends, and they were very grateful to Hick, because Hick was the one who had set it up. So I think a lot of them knew. I think it wasn't so surprising, you know, in that community, probably. I think that Franklin Roosevelt knew, certainly knew. He made little jokes about Eleanor and her she-males, and actually when Valkill was finished, the house that, the cottage that he helped build for Eleanor and her friends, he described it as the love nest. So I think for Franklin, I think he might not have minded at all, since he was having his own kind of flirtations and affairs. He didn't mind the fact that Eleanor had hers, as long as it didn't go public. And the other thing is that we forget is that in those times, reporters were very cooperative, and they kept a lot of secrets. You know, they kept the secret of, for instance, of FDR's paralysis. He asked that no one take pictures of his wheelchair when they took pictures of him, and no one did. They would don't take him from the chest up. And, of course, there were no pictures of him being lifted into his automobile in a compromising position, none of that.
Right.
And also, they didn't cover any of the goings-on in the White House in terms of Franklin's affairs, or Eleanor's, for that matter. So there was a lot that was kept from people, or that people knew and they didn't talk about.
Right. I want you to take a couple of minutes and tell our listeners how this book may have impacted you as an individual.
Well, I loved writing this book, and I think for me, I felt very connected to both Eleanor and Hick. I had a special connection to Hick in a way, because she was a newspaper reporter, and that's how I started out. And the process of discovering and being able to tell the story, particularly of Lorena Hickok, who I think whose story has been told, but told kind of in a truncated fashion, and the process of actually telling the whole story was very, very moving for me. Also, I think I had a special connection to the book, to writing it, because I have a daughter who's queer, and who is in a longtime partnership, a love relationship, and who has a wonderful little 4-year-old. So for all of those reasons, looking into these lives and into this love affair had a special meaning for me.
Well, then that's an awfully good reason, and I would suggest to folks that if you want a good read, this would be the book for you to get. Otherwise, If you have not yet become a part of the Great Eleanor or the Great KBOO community, and you'd like to get a copy of Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped a First Lady, then you need to either go online right now to kboo.fm or pick up the phone. We have folks waiting to take your call at 1-877-500-5266. And also keep this in mind, my friends, that KBOO has been the voice of resistance for nearly 50 years and will continue to do so. Susan Quinn has been my guest on Radio Zine. Susan, thank you very much for joining us, and we wish you well with your book.
Thank you so much.
Okay, that'll do it for Radio Zine for today. I'm Dan Johnson. Thank you for listening. Hi, everybody. Dan Johnson.
Hey.
We're good? All right, cool.
Are we on?
I think we're on.
Yay.
Nice. Excellent. Hello, everyone. Welcome to our winter membership drive. We have a room full of volunteers on the phones answering your calls. If you want to donate, you can call 877-500-5266 or go on kboo.fm/give.
One thing that people might not know, Kyle, is KBOO provides free training to volunteers and community members. Mm-hmm. So if you would like to get part of that free training, come on down. We show folks how to be citizen journalists, how to mix live sound, how to be broadcasters. We work to increase equity and access and to raise awareness on how media consumption affects people and their perceptions. And you and thousands of other listeners in your community rely on KBOO. Giving today will help keep training free and media accessible to the least heard among us. This is especially important now when people are being silenced, if they're not part of the people in power, and they have a message to give that is not something that's going to contribute financially to that 1%. And we want to keep media free. Consider giving a dollar a day. If you can give a dollar a day and be a hero for the whole year, dollar a day, you'll be a hero for KBOO.
That adds up for us. That's
really
definitely
does.
A good amount to give.
If you call 877-500-5266 or go online to kboo.fm and give a dollar a day for a year, we have a multitude of thank you gifts for you. You could have a hoodie and that wonderful book, Eleanor and Hick.
Yeah, that's right. If you're just tuning in, we played the Radio Zine interview with Susan Quinn, who wrote Eleanor and Hick, The Love Affair That Shaped the First Lady. Eleanor Roosevelt is one of those people, for me at least, like, I don't know too much about her, but like the more I learn about her, the more I want to, because she seems fascinating. Or the whole FDR administration in general, really. But I guess Eleanor and Hick, and specifically, it's a biography of the 5-year love relationship that went on between Eleanor Roosevelt and Lorena Hickok. And much of it took place in the White House. And if you were listening, you can tell it's deeply researched and told with great warmth. And Eleanor and Hick is a vivid portrait of love and revealing look at how an unlikely romance influenced some of the most consequential years in American history.
That's right. So call us at 877-500-5266. And if you can give a dollar a day and you can only do it for 75 days, you can have that book as a thank you gift. Mm-hmm. You make KBOO happen. Listeners, thank you so much for making KBOO happen. You help us to improve our communities. And now we need your help to strengthen those efforts so that we can keep bringing this kind of broadcasting to you and to your loved ones and to those all around Portland, the nation, and the world. If that book is of interest to you, $75 will do it, a dollar a day for $75. Mm-hmm. We have other ones. There's one called Between the Covers by Difficult Women. There's a book and CD also available as a thank you gift for a dollar a day if it's $75. If it's $360 for a whole year, you can get both of them. We just would also like to thank those people that have already called and donated and renewed. And if you're new, please consider making that call. Your donation right now, it's a very powerful gesture. It means you are willing to stand up and be counted. You're going to be counted as the next member in our growing radio community that encourages personal and shared growth. So please call now, 577-500-5266.
Being that it's community driven, it is now more important than ever, considering with the presidential administration. Mm-hmm. The last interview was about another presidential administration. Mm-hmm. And how Susan Quinn thought that Eleanor Roosevelt would be appalled by what's going on in the White House at the moment. So if you are also appalled, then supporting KBOO Radio would be a great way to help out. And again, that number is 877-500-5266.
Yeah, or you can go online to kboo.fm. We have people here in front of their computers to take the donation that way. Mm-hmm. You can have it be just an automatic deduction out of your bank account. That's another option. You can let us know that if you call us at 877-500-5266, or you can set that up online also at kboo.fm. And we always love to have those of you who want to donate by cash or check, come on down just a little bit south of Burnside on 8th and just come and say hey to us. We'd love to shake your hand and say thank you for being a part of our community.
Yeah, that's right. KBOO's 49 years strong. Let's make it to 50.
Let's make it to 50. A dollar a day. A dollar a day, people. You decide how many dollars and how many days you can do it. And thanks again.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Winter Folk 29 on Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater in Portland. Winter Folk is an annual folk music concert benefiting Sisters of the Road. This is Winter Folk's 29th year. Performers include Cozy Sheridan, Tom May, Richard Colombo, and Lori Lynn, and more. Again, that's Winter Folk 29, Saturday, February 18th at 7 p.m. at the Alberta Rose Theater, 3000 Northeast Alberta Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud sponsor of the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, taking place Thursdays through Sundays until March 4th at PCC Cascade in Portland. The Cascade Festival of African Films shows us Africa through the eyes of Africans, rather than a Vision of Africa package for Western viewers. The films celebrate Africa's achievements, expose its failures, and reveal possibilities for a hopeful future. The festival includes live music performances, plays and short films, documentary, and a Women's Filmmakers Week. Again, that's the 27th Annual Cascade Festival of African Films, Thursday through Sundays until March 4th, at Moriarty Arts and Humanities Building, Room 104 at Portland Community College, 705 North Killingsworth Street in Portland. More information and specific times for the screenings can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.